Welcome to the Scottish Watches
Podcast. Are we both doing this now?
You might as well.
You think so? You think it's a double act, officially?
Aye, I think so. I couldn't be bothered completely taking you off your stride away, so I thought I'd join in unison.
What you're saying is I'm wearing you down slowly but surely.
No, not at all. I'm just getting inside your mind.
Okay, that's fine.
And there's not much space in there.
Talking about getting inside your mind, I have an apology to make.
To Paul Simon.
I have an apology to make to everybody who has been, including myself, in some like really meta kind of a way, been humming the tune to You Can Call Me Al for the last week. The earworm has definitely dominated, but congratulations, Ricky, that was a masterful piece of editing. I am now going to use the phrase I like it, and then you can try and
No, you can't force these things. It's like viral videos. You can't to create a viral video.
You just have to let the magic happen.
You do. You just have to hear something and think. It was like when we had Bamford on the show and you were getting shown his watch for the first time and you were like, oh yeah, I like that.
Yeah, okay. So it does show you that we're both fundamentally kids of the 80s.
Indeed.
So I think we've clearly inspired Hodinkee's 80s campaign and everything that Timex are now doing, which no doubt we'll come on to at some point today. I am fighting the good fight, rocking and rolling, but...
You've been injecting yourself, haven't you?
No, I don't want to talk about that, because that's just going to get us in trouble, because if I start referring to that... If I start saying, don't do this, don't get that, it's terrible, we're going to get
Are you being controlled
letters.
By Bill Gates now?
I am now officially chipped, but there we go. Anyway, so what are you wearing, Ricky?
Woo-hoo. Oh, well, a watch is going back. Now is the time for all the watches to go back. This is a new kind of thing, Rick. You may not have heard of this sort of process before.
I think it's a ridiculous theory and should be banned. Should be outlawed.
Okay. Well, we have got quite a number of watches going back because I don't know why people forgot we had them. But hey, brands, if you think we've got one of your watches, chances are we probably do. So get in touch if you want it back. The Hawking watch, that's what I'm wearing today because it's going back. I want to grab a couple of last snaps of it. And we'll probably end up doing one of those kind of audio review things that I did with Dave, because that's a whole lot easier than just writing stuff out. Plus, it's better because you can actually talk about it and discuss it back and forward. So the Hawking watch review, we'll do an audio review on that probably within the next week or so. So I am wearing that. It's a heavy little beastie, but there's a lot of cool stuff in it. Retrograde functions, a bit of his desk in the back, yada yada. And that is that. So what are you wearing?
I'm bringing back a favourite old segment, which is fantasy wristwatch check. So because I'm wearing precisely nothing. So I am wearing one of two watches, possibly. I don't know if you saw the Grand Seiko Masterpiece Spring Drive 8-Day Jewellery Watch.
Is it the one, the green diamond thing?
The green diamondy thing. It just looks absolutely awesome. Green diamonds, or presumably they're actually emeralds rather than green diamonds, but lots of diamonds and it looks like a kind of alligator green strap, but it looks awesome. So that is it's going to be the SBGD 207. However, I may have had to change my mind because of something somebody posted. Now, I'm not sure who posted this. It was a customized Santos de Cartier.
It would look better without the red hands. Without all the colour over it as well.
It would look better, in fact, if it was just stainless steel. I quite like it, though.
This is what happens when you fall asleep and there's a toddler around.
They paint your face. They come and they scribble on your watch. But that's pretty cool, I have to say. I don't know who made it.
I'm sure, with enough tipex, the dial artist could do this cheaper.
Oh, I'm seeing who it was now because I've scrolled down. It's Al X Watches. I don't know if that's the people that did it or just somebody that found the picture and stuck it on Instagram. But Al Ek, which is A-L-E-K... Swatches, which is presumably not Swatches, it's presumably Alex Watches. Yeah. There you go. So you can have a look at that.
And it says it was done for a footballer if you scroll the other way.
Oh, is that right? Well, that would explain the incredibly bad taste. Who was it done for?
It tells you if you actually read what you showed me.
I can't actually see
it. It's on your actual screen, you muppet.
Does this one customise? No, it doesn't.
It does. Really, what? Customised for football and then it's got the guy's at symbol.
Why can't I see? Oh, cut right. Okay, it's half cut off at the bottom. Oh, is that a Bamiyang? Possibly. That's possibly the Arsenal centre forward.
Glad you've got all the infos.
I'm wearing one of those, the Grand Seiko, because that's their cool watches. Although I may have decided that the more sensible one to wear this would be that new Oris, the new red-faced Oris.
The cherry one.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very nice.
It would go with your nails, Rick.
Yeah, there seems to have been a lot of nail varnish appearing in our Instagram feed recently, I've noticed, courtesy of yourself.
Not courtesy of myself at all.
You're not applying it. Self-applied. Right, okay. The Oris Cherry, I really liked it when it first popped up, but I think there is a flaw. It just popped a cherry pop. Very good.
Very good.
It seems to have a black date wheel on it, which, considering all the effort they've gone to make it cherry red, could they not just have gone the extra 50 cents for getting a date wheel that matched the red?
Do you want me to ask the CEO of Oris when I'm speaking to him later on today?
Yes. Can you ask him and say, why, oh, why, oh, why, oh, why? I genuinely ask him, what is it that makes watch brands not match the date wheels to the dials? Is it...
Because they would probably have to produce two dials. Because the date disc is pretty much a little dial underneath the main dial, and they would have to treat it in the same way, so when light hit it, if it was a starburst or it was brushed, that it would go the kind of same way.
Yeah, but even if you just made it vaguely the same colour, you know, just red.
Yeah. I agree. Rick, for once, I agree. And I'll tell you why I agree. Because
hashtag
the Zealous,
I agree with Rick.
Hashtag I agree too. And the reason I agree is because the Zealous that we get sent through, that I papped off to Lucy because it was too similar to the one that we already got through, it's got a colour match date wheel and it's got a blue kind of sunburst metallic dial to it. So they can do it, and that's not an... that is definitely not an expensive watch. So yeah, wait there, I'm just going to take a wee note here.
What is it? Okay. Because it does seem to be an obvious thing to do. And I can't imagine, if you're making several hundred of these, or it's going to be a long-running model, I can't imagine the additional cost over the bog-standard white date wheel is going to be too significant. You know, a few quid, I can't imagine it's hundreds of dollars. But maybe I'm wrong.
Well, here's one for you, right? And this does this is what do you call this? A happy quinky-dink segue into a watch that me and Dave didn't have time to speak about last week. And that's a new release from Rhys Lacroix, and it's the Icon Venturer GMT. And what they've done here is they've got a white dial and they've put a black date disc in.
Right.
So they've completely flipped it. Because usually you would just leave a white date disc in there. And obviously they could have a white date disc with the creamy white dial, but they've actually dropped a black date disc in.
And does it work?
It does. It's one of those watches where I saw it released, I thought, oh, right, okay, they've really gone too far this time. But having now seen it quite a bit, and people were talking about it in our Facebook group asking, you know, what does it wear like? Because it's exactly the same as the bronze one that we had a loan of for forever. Again, I watched it's away again. And that looked massive, but when you wore it, it didn't. And it fitted great because the lug-to-lug and the way the integrated strap and bracelet and whatnot were, it just wore amazingly well. And the more I see this watch, the more I actually quite like it. And the more that normal people, well, this one in particular, because it looked too busy. It looked like a roulette wheel for the bezel because it's, instead of being a standard dive bezel, this one's GMT. But the more I look at it, the more I like it. Whereas when I first saw it, I thought, ooh, no, just a little bit too much. So because people were asking on the Facebook group, I've got in touch with ML to see if we can get one of these guys through because, yeah, it's the same shape and all the rest. It's going to wear differently because it's not made of bronze and the colour scheme's completely different. And I want to check this one under loop magnification or macro because the last one was so good. I want to see if that was a one-off or if it is continuous through the line because it really did stand up very well.
Well, ask Oris if they would send me and I promise to return it. One of the cherry red ones, and we'll do a quick comparison about date wheels and stuff. Oh, hold on, I've got a new secret club, so if anybody else wants to join. So me and Mark Playford have created a secret club called the Tribunal Club.
Good.
So if you would like to join the Tribunal Club, because it turns out I'm not the only one that pronounces it that way. And when I say pronounce, it's not so much a bad pronunciation as a completely different word. But if you'd like to join the Tribunal Club, then, you know, just direct message us. And we'll completely ignore you.
You're basically giving people 20% extra letters in your words.
Exactly. I think people should view it as being a bargain.
It's a benefit.
It's a benefit.
It's not a hindrance. It's a benefit. Indeed. It means that when you're playing Scrabble, you get more points.
Oh, there's a good point. Yeah. So tell me about your watch news. Watch news? You think this is a
watch
podcast?
News. And we're only about 10 minutes in. I mean,
yeah,
what's happening here?
Blimey.
Well, big shout out to Mizzy L for fighting the good fight with the show notes.
I see he was having a row with you last night, though. I didn't really
understand. No, he didn't quite catch on what I was doing. Oh, because, right, okay. I was trying to explain to him, because our show notes now are amazing, because Rick doesn't do them, and there's less wordage, more pictures, which is what you want, because it's a case of you load up Apple Podcasts or whatever you're using to play it, you scroll down to where it says, you know, episode notes, and the first thing you'll now see, hopefully if I remember to do it, is a link to the webpage of that particular episode. It's a little bit self-referential, because once you get to the web page, you're loading the thing, it's just showing you, so the first link in it is to its own self. But anyway, scroll past that, and then you get all the pictures in order as you're listening. So if you want, if you're hearing us talking about something, like, for instance, we're talking about this Maurice Lacroix icon watch just now, you can go click the link in the notes, because podcast players generally don't show you the pictures. That'll take you to your browser on your phone, wherever, your desktop, and you can scroll down and see what we're talking about, and then scroll down to the next bit, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he's doing a read along with Rex.
I think we need to do one of those. I was speaking to someone about those R's for Rolex books. I don't think that that's a copyrightable thing.
It's not.
So I think we should be doing our own R's for Rick, and then the rest can be about what. In fact, we should do it for Instagram posters. R's for Ricky Watches.
Fascinating.
What other letters have we got?
So check out the show notes. Mizzy's doing a great job. You will love checking his stuff out. His English is getting better as well.
He is. And I mean, this
he
is
says
it.
To because me you that can't... you knew his age. You were just acting up.
I honestly don't think I did.
He said he told you he was in the second last year of high school when he emailed in.
Oh, I maybe didn't twig what that actually meant.
Sure you
just didn't join the dots.
How's things at church?
Well, hold on a second. So this is like when, because the world is still largely in lockdown, and so all the English schools that exist in Edinburgh that keep the Chisholm
like
Hunter boys busy, like Hogwarts, that keep the Chisholm Hunter boys busy selling them Longines. This is the equivalent of that. Because you can't travel, what instead you do to learn English if you're overseas is you do our show notes. And then through a process of us beating you up about your bad spelling and publicly humiliating you, you learn to write English better. It's great. We should actually be charging him to do the show notes.
We should. But we're not going to, because you can't enter contracts people under 18 years old, Rick.
Well, you know what? I did almost text you the other day, say, Ricky, should we, you know, because this guy's like a regular contributor to the website, should we not let him into the Scottish Watches secret club? And then I thought, maybe not. I don't know what the rules are about letting.
Do you know any priests you can ask?
No, I don't know any priests I can ask.
Okay.
Get a grip.
Anyway. I've been watching lots of videos about crazy murders.
That's the sort of thing you will get arrested for.
No. We're way into the woods already.
Okay.
A guy called Simon Whistler runs multiple YouTube channels. Most
just
of them
like
are quite
us.
Good. Well, a bit like you. His ones are actually popular and people watch stuff, though. So one of the things he does now is 15 to half an hour worth of about something. It was like Jonestown Massacre. It was Unibomber. It was whoever.
So uplifting stuff.
Uplifting. Real tearjerkers, right? So he was doing... What was he doing? He was doing on about Waco. Not the guy from Revolution.
I was going to say Waco. What, he's got a whole video about Revolution Watch?
No.
You mean Waco.
The bad Waco, not the good Waco.
Not the good Waco.
So there was that one, and then there was another one. And the theme seems to be, the guy that was doing anthrax killing, all of them seem to be members of the church as a cover story.
Right,
and I'm thinking, who do I know that constantly pretends he's all to do with the church and does churchy type things and could be doing with a cover story for some kind of mass murdering plot?
You
never guess who I thought of.
Yeah, I have no idea who you thought
Keeps
of.
His face hidden, doesn't tell you much about himself, disappears for 4 months and end. No idea, Rick. No idea.
Yep,
so
look forward to
your episode on his channel.
Nothing to see here.
Nothing to see here. Move along.
Right.
Right, Maurice Lacroix, Icon Venturer GMT. So that's dropped. Ricky. I managed to catch the video that they did because for some reason everybody was doing their releases or launches just a couple of weeks ago. They're obviously digitally because things are getting better, but they're not amazing yet. And because I've seen the watch and I've interviewed the CEO of the company before, I thought, right, I'll just watch this and see what it's like. Monochrome did the video. And how do I word this? It was factual.
No. All right, okay, as opposed to just saying Monochrome did the video, end sentence, make your own assumptions.
No. The indexes, thankfully, are symmetrical in this one, so it doesn't matter if you get them round the wrong way, but they were they were fine. No,
right, okay.
Monochrome are very... It's a bit like watching the film The Accountant and looking at the character that's played by Ben Affleck. Very straight to the point, facts and figures, not much superfluous information or fun games. But anyway, so watched the video, learned a little bit, and then went looking through all the details. So it's a watch that you can get on a bracelet, or you can get with the rubber strap. People were a bit, don't like that rubber strap idea because it's got the logo emblazoned on it. And we had this chat before. It actually doesn't look too bad. It doesn't get in the way, and it's fine. Adds a little bit of flair to it. It doesn't look like one of those Rolex stick-on monogram initial things that you can get that look completely shit. So, yeah, good-looking watch, GMT functionality. You can get it with integrated steel bracelet or black rubber strap, or you can get it with both. It's got offshore kind of feelings to it because the original did. On the metallic bracelet, it's got the AP Royal Oak style to it. But I quite like it, and I'm looking forward to getting it in. It does wear big. If it's exactly the same dimensions, which I don't know because I've not exactly compared, but if it does have the same dimensions, it will wear a little bit big, but it is a great watch. Wears great, feels great, all the rest of it, and this one should be a lot less in weight compared to the bronze number. Details of it, again, in Swiss francs, because that's what everybody talks about. On the rubber strap, it's 2,350 Swiss francs. Steel bracelet, it's only an extra 150 Swiss francs.
Right, okay.
And then if you want both together, then again, from just having the rubber strap up to steel and rubber, it's only an extra 300 Swiss francs. So well done for not absolutely ripping the hole out of it. Inside, you've got what they call the ML165, which is based on the Sleta SW330, 42-hour power reserve. Yep, great little watch. And when I say little, I mean 43 mil. But yep, looking forward to...
That's not this week's prize, though.
Are we going to talk about Jason Statham and Panerai?
No, we're not. We can do. No, we're going to talk about Mont Blanc.
Right. Okay.
This is the Mont Blanc 1858 Monopusher Chronograph Origins Limited Edition of 100. Okay. So think Monopusher Chronograph, Mont Blanc, 1858. You kind of already know roughly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what it's going to look like. We saw one of these way back in the day. Okay, this isn't the one Davide had, because this is a new watch, but yes, it's similar to the one that Davide, I think, was wearing, the one that Adrian really liked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the first clue. The movement is 38.4. Okay,
mm-hmm.
How big do you think the watch is?
No idea.
46 mil.
Oh.
A 46 mil Monopusher from Mont Blanc. So this is way up in the pan, and it's got a Minerva movement in it, which is really cool.
Good.
And it's also got my favourite thing about case backs that you can see, and it's a half hunter. So it's actually got an opening case back that you then see through the crystal to see the chronograph movement. It looks absolutely stunning. But at 46 mil, I have no idea who on earth is going to wear this. This is going to look like an enormous watch.
It's only about a mil bigger than my Apollo 8.
Yeah, I think though it'll be really chunky looking. I think it'll wear quite chunky. I mean, it does look absolutely stunning.
Mm-hmm. Okay, give us a spec on it. This is a new thing we do, Rick, where we actually tell people more than, like a look at this watch, it's on my screen here that you can't see.
What do you mean? I gave you the name, I gave you the dimensions. What else do you need to know?
Mizzielle needs the details.
Oh, right, okay. So, Mizzielle, just go to the Hodinkee website. You'll get the details there. €30,000, 100 piece limited edition. Which reminds me, while I'm talking about this, you took out the best bit of my chat about Hodinkee and Crown and Caliber. And we've already had a couple of folk try it, even though it didn't make the cut of the show, but they've been in touch, which is... We would find that quite amusing. So, Davis. Anyway, so Hodinkee, this is the Hodinkee website, 1858 Monopusher chronograph, 46 mil, 14.5 thick case material, bronze, which is why it looks so cool, water resistance 30 metres. But that's
only
okay.
30 metres.
Only 30 metres.
I wouldn't be able to use that in the moon.
Well, I mean, if 50 metres is good. So long as you don't go diving on the moon, you're probably all right. As long as you don't change the pressure too quickly.
Did you see the guy that came onto our Facebook group?
Did we not talk about this already? You just had a square go with, basically. did you actually ban him, or did he just shut up?
Don't know what happened to him.
Did he just disappear? He just disappeared.
Fugazi, Fugazi. he just disappeared.
Just disappeared. But funny anyway... So, check that out. So, talk to me about Jason Statham and Panerai.
Well, no, we did that in the last episode. I just wondered if you'd got hard on for it because you heard Jason Statham's name. And right, Panerai.
No.
Or two.
Not particularly.
No. But I'll tell you something we did. I don't know what was going on. I was in a happy mood. Don't know why. It's very rare, especially in Scotland. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's what it was. There was a lot of cool memes floating around at the weekend, and mm-hmm. our man with a plan from Claire Watches, I think it is.
Yes,
that's K-L-E-R.
That's what his company's
called. It's not how you mispronounce... Oh, careful, Ricky, don't say that. It's not how you mispronounce a girl's name. Oopsies. So he put something on our
Facebook
group. Folks,
for the edit that you've just heard and the cutting conversation that's just happened, that's because Ricky accidentally gave away the...
How's she getting on?
She's getting on fine.
Good, glad, interesting. Look forward to meeting her.
And that other bit is when he gives away the name of my wife.
Yes.
So there you go. Happy
love
days.
Love it. Cannot wait. So anyway, our good man with a plan at Claire Watches, Balraj, he's just been on fire recently. And no one's putting him out, which is beneficial for us because the memes that are coming out are absolutely amazing. And he did one, which is the scene from Terminator 2 where Arnold Schwarzenegger's Terminator character is saying to John Connor something like, "What's the name of your dog?" Mm-hmm. And he's on the phone to the foster parents or who he suspects is a T-1000 and says, "You know, is that Wolfie I can hear in the background?" And the mum goes, "Yes, it is, dear." And he turns around and goes, "Your parents are dead."
It was a very good meme, and it was particularly good because it required some prior knowledge.
That's how all these things work. But then
a little bit,
what else to be on Instagram after that? Well, before that on Instagram, I'd popped up a couple of pictures. The Fairer watch we had in to check out because we've got the interview with the guy from Fairer. That's a way to Omer. He came over and we did an illicit deal in a car park where we swapped some watches. Socially distanced, of course. And then the girlfriend tried to steal my Russian dive watch that appeared because she liked the orange bits on it. People, instead of commenting on the watch, thought that her Baby Yoda slippers were rather fetching.
Yes, so I saw that.
That was nice.
But we know that they're really your Baby Yoda slippers. It's just that you've got really small feet. You've got the same size of feet
as your
girlfriend.
Yeah, they're far too big. But anyway, so posting lots of cool stuff. And then I popped a picture of Christopher Walken from Pulp Fiction up where he's holding the watch that has been transported around the world for many years in an ass. And asked people, you know, watches and films, what do you guys think? I'm looking for some films to watch. And we got such a response. I think it was about 60 odd people got back to us on that Instagram post, just posting stuff up. Should we go through a few of them just now?
Yeah, you can do.
Speaking of Arnold Schwarzenegger there, let me see, The Watch Yeti. Commando is one of his favourite films because it's got the Seiko Arne in it, which you used to have. Have you still got that? Is that a way?
I have got that somewhere. Yes.
Right, good. The TikTok collector we mention all the time, Logan. He's appeared at the top. He was one of the first guys to reply. He was talking about the film Atomic Blonde and says it's essentially just a giant product placement advert for Carol F. Booker. And the storyline is steeped in secret plans hidden in a watch.
Yeah, they have a few of those films that they're involved in. It's just they're not very subtle about it. You know, person in Times Square, big advert
John
in the background.
Wick.
Yes.
John Wick's big on that. And we've never actually had one of those watches through. I saw them in Basel, but I've never seen them anywhere else. So
I seem to recall they do a dive watch.
Yeah, they do some nice looking...
Which is absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Well, funnily enough, I've got a call later on today with somebody maybe able to fix that little problem of ours of not having one of those. But anyway, carrying on. Top Gun, the Porsche design, or Fino Chrono.
Yes, but the big news, obviously, in Top Gun is the release of the Top Gun Lego. And I stress Lego, not Legos, Lego movie thing that somebody's put together. Have you seen this?
Not going to talk about that right now. Guy Ritchie's The Gentleman, which features a pinion watch worn by Hugh Grant.
Yes, it does.
Although you don't really see it. Awesome movie though. And I agree. And I met the guy at Pinion, mentioned this in a prior episode. He was showing off some watches. I forgot there was actually one that was in Doctor Who, as well as The Gentleman and the new Fast and Furious movie. What else we got? John Candy, of course, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, trying to punt his Casio and $2 from a hotel room. And then somebody was going, I'm not going to go through them all, but there's tons. Okay. Jump onto our Instagram, follow at Scottish Watches, scroll down a little bit because there's a lot of stuff on there, lots of stuff about Roger Smith. Roger Smith looking displeased at the fact that you're back on the show. Lots of cool things on there. You don't want to miss out. It's great fun. And there's a really cool wrist shot of Stephanie wearing her Zenith with that beautiful dial, which is just top notch. So there we go. Right, you were going to say something?
Be sure and check out the Stephanie and Arthur show on a Sunday on the Scottish Watches live channel. That's always good for a view. Yeah, I was just going to say the one TV thing I've been watching recently where a watch features very heavily. Have you ever watched Bosch?
I watched the first episode and thought, well, this is shite.
You see, I did that ages ago and thought this is rubbish, but I actually give it 3 or 4 episodes. It's really, really good. No, it's really good. And he wears a Submariner which is always takes pride.
Heard
of place.
That watch?
You heard of that? Mm. It's yeah. You can get. Well, no, you can't actually get. They're not very easy to get, apparently. Oh, allegedly. Okay. Oh, but congratulations to Arthur of the Arthur and Stephanie, who's got himself a new Pepsi GMT.
Oh. Didn't know that. Nice one.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I was watching films at the weekend because we're still in lockdown and we have gone through all the good ones and we've got shite ones left. And I was subjected to all three. Mm-hmm. Ready? See how quickly you get this.
Right, three. So it's a series of three.
Yep. With a guy that does Scottish accents.
Do it properly. Like, pretend we're playing. Like, I'll put you on the video screen and you can play charades. So how many letters? Is it a film, a movie, or a book? Right, okay, go on then.
No, based on books, with a guy in all three of them that does Scottish accents.
It does, so he's not Scottish, but does Scottish accents.
Parentage might be Scottish, from what I remember.
Does them badly, is my assumption.
No, he does them quite well.
All right, okay. Nope, not helping. Nope. You need to give me more clues.
Your last clue, your final clue, first and final clue.
Animal,
is,
mineral, or vegetable?
Well, funnily enough.
Hiya, baby! What on earth was that?
No? Okay. It was the Austin Powers collection.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
That was me channeling an impression of you that Mike Myers does.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I watched all these and they are shit, but they do pass the time. The mini me stuff was quite cool.
Okay. Do you think you'd be allowed to do that nowadays?
Calling a character fat bastard? Probably not. Having the title, The Spy That Shagged Me? Probably not. Having, well, no, because when they had Mini-Me in it, it was a character and it was a clone, so it wasn't taking the piss out of anything. There wasn't anything that actually stood out as being nasty or racist or of a time, because it only was 20 years ago. No, that's actually okay.
Yeah,
it was a bit of sexism, but it was good. It passed the time, and some laughs were had, not by me, but by the girlfriend, so she's very immature, as you probably noticed, because she's dating me.
She'd have to be. Is she looking forward to Formula One season starting? I see that Richard Mille have signed with Ferrari.
Nope, no idea. Don't ask her about
that. Means that Hublot now do not appear to have...
Hold on.
Hublot? Oh, tell us, I didn't understand the message, and it'll give you the chance to put it in the podcast, because was amazingly well done. You and Dave pronouncing Gerard Perregaux, which, who sent it in and had slowed it down to half speed?
Mr. Milgauss.
The Mr. Milgauss. That was phenomenally funny.
Yeah. I'm sure we offended a lot of Swiss and French people with that one. Mission accomplished.
No change there.
Got to keep it up. Right, so we mentioned Top Gun there because somebody brought it up in one of our Instagram thingies. IWC, out of nowhere, have just appeared on the scene in the last month. First of all, they appeared in Clubhouse. Maybe that's where they have introed into all these influencers, social media, YouTuber type people. But they brought out a watch, which we've not talked about because I don't think you've been on the show since. And that's the IWC Pilots Chronograph Tribute to 3705.
Yeah, it's a weird one, that. It's a weird one.
In what way?
I'm not sure.
You don't know where it sits?
I'm not sure which particular itch it is supposed to be scratching.
One from 1994.
Yeah.
That's a long-standing itch. You've got a new name.
Oh, what?
That you don't know yet.
Oh dear.
Barbara gave you a new name.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she did.
What? I want to know.
You'll find out when her episode airs on International Women's Day.
Okay, great.
Yep.
I don't think she realises that all the bad things that get said are actually said by you and not by me.
What do you mean?
Just say it.
She just loves you. Anyway, this watch, it's based on a watch that came out in 1994. And reading all the things that have been published about it, when the watch came out in 1994, it wasn't exactly well-loved, cared for, or missed when it disappeared. But for some reason, this re-edition has got a lot of hype. It's a good-looking little watch.
Yep.
It's using a new material. It's a blend of ceramic and titanium where they take it to a very high melting point or boiling point. It infuses the two materials together and then creates something that's lighter and stronger, doesn't scratch up, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. So we didn't, but you thought we did, get one of these IWC watches. Yeah, because you're living on a different planet still.
Yep.
And it wasn't us that got it, but Adrian got one of the prototypes through.
Uh-huh.
Made a video about it.
Yep.
And,
Did he take it down?
No, he kept it up.
Okay.
He didn't hokey-cokey the video. But I quite like it. It looks good. It's very expensive and it's limited to 1,000 pieces. But it's got a good look. It's got one of those solid, fleegery, chronography looks with the way that everything's set out. I don't know, I like it. I can't say any more than that. I just like the look of it.
Yeah, I think it was the cost. How much is it? Is it
10k, was it?
I thought it was 12, but maybe I'm wrong, which wouldn't be the first time and won't be the last time.
Well, 11 UK pounds.
11 UK
times 1,000.
For 11 grand, I thought, wait a minute, there are other options.
Yes.
Significantly better options. I mean, I appreciate that it is a call. I appreciate that it's replicating something that previously existed. But sometimes there's reasons why things previously existed and didn't continue through for many, many moons.
Well, that's what I say about the Omega 321 movement. We moved on. We've moved on from pushrod engines to new things.
Yeah, but to be fair, we're talking about Omega here. Omega are still celebrating something that happened in a sound studio 50 years ago.
True.
You know, what are the chances?
Does Stanley Kubrick get royalties?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I
think the reason they kicked the arse out of it with this one here is because it's got an in-house movement, which again, people were up in arms about, oh, no, it's a 7750 base. Well, yeah, my reply to people that say this is a 7750 is, well, an Escort Cosworth has got a transit engine in it.
has also got Pirelli tyres on it, as well as the Ferrari. So, I'm not sure, is it a nice looking watch? Yes.
Yeah.
Is it 11 grand nice looking? Not for me.
No, limited piece. I think, well, let's find out, because we're going to be speaking to the CEO of IWC and we'll grill him on that. Okay. I think if they're obviously going to have an answer for the cost factor, and I think it's going to be working with the new material, the tooling that's involved, the R&D and all the rest of it. But you're right, I mean, for significantly less, you can have a Daytona if you could find one. For less, you could have one of the Zenith Chronomaster Sports.
I think there's also just better watches that IWC make. Talking about Barbara there, and that got me thinking about other things, which got me thinking about a second thing, which made me want to reference a Time and Tide article, which follows on from the stuff that Cara had been writing about in Hodinkee.
This is the perfect article. Hit us with it, Rick.
This is worth a read. So this is by Sandra Lane, the 26th of the 2nd, 2021, on Time and Tide, called Women Do Not Need Permission to Buy Men's Watches, So Who Cares About the Category? This article, I think, is probably the most rounded, full... It's got... Yeah, go read it.
Give me some excerpts from it.
Well, the key thing is, it's a good article, but the other key thing is, it's got an illustration by Diana Evans, our Diana Evans, on the article. So
just
like all of those people that came on our show and then got famous somewhere else, Diana Evans is now doing illustrations for Time and Tide. That means we don't speak to her anymore. There's a big set, a good section about watch advertising and about, you know, are you being told what to buy and all the rest of it. It's just a really nice, well-rounded article. Be interested to know to what extent everybody agrees with it or not. I don't know if you can put comments on Time and Tide articles. I've got a sneaky suspicion
you can. That's a good read of it, because there was some people we know that were mentioned in it, or mentioned when it was announced, and there were some people that weren't mentioned in it and not mentioned when it was announced, and that is all I'm saying on that subject. But the article itself is really good, and it touches on a hell of a lot of points based on everything we kind of think of as within the enthusiast collector community.
Yes.
But the predominant amount of people out there that buy watches, men's or women's or unisex, are just purchasers. They're not collectors or enthusiasts. They walk in, like what they see, buy them either way. And I keep referring back to people I know, the girlfriend, my sister. You know, they'll just buy whatever it is they like the look of that is in roughly the women's section of a website or whatever, because they wouldn't naturally click on the men's area. But they like the ease of use and the separation, just like you do if you're walking into a clothes shop. You don't want a jumble sale where all the racks are just filled with male, female, and you're having to sort through to try and figure out, okay, well, what's my style? No, great article, and it touches on a lot of things that we've been speaking about, and it generally got thumbs up from everybody. Didn't see any sort of bike back on it or anything like that.
Cool. So go check that out. Another new watch this week that I really like. This is the John McGonagall HB1 triple calendar chronograph.
So who's this company? Because that sounds like a very Scottish, Irishy type name.
So McGonagall is, if I remember correctly, there are, I think, I want to say there's four brothers, of which three of them are involved in the watch industry. I think two of them have their own brands, and one of them...
You better get this right, because somebody complained yesterday about this.
Yeah, but So this particular one is John McGonagall. There's John and there's Stephen and there's at least Paul, one other, but there might be Judas. Two others. Ringo, I think, is the other one. I think it's John, Paul, Ringo and George McGonagall. Mm. Anyway, this is the John McGonagall HP1 triple calendar. You need to check this out. This is close, I think, to the perfect skeletonization of a chronograph with a triple calendar. There's something I don't like about it, or not that I don't like about it, that I think could be improved upon, if you don't mind me saying, Mr. McGonagall. Have you got this in front of me? Quill and pads, probably where to look for this.
I'm looking
this
on our Instagram.
All right, okay. So it's very cool. I when I first saw it, I thought, epic. This is a triple calendar chronograph GMT, because I thought that in just looking at the first flash of the picture, that the hand, which is actually pointer date, was actually going to be a GMT hand. And I think that's the only thing about this format of triple calendar that I don't like, which is you're showing the day and the month in boxes. So it says Friday, May, but then you're showing the date by pointing to it. Whereas if you go to like the Patek version or, you know, Zenith, I think have some triple calendars where all three items are in boxes. So you read it as Friday, May. They're all using wheels to do it rather than a pointer. So I think the only thing that's slightly off-putting about this is that I would really like it if the date was actually on a disc wheel, and then you could add a GMT function to it as well, and it would be the perfect single watch. The loom on it looks stunning as well, the day loom. The skeletonization still makes it look incredibly legible. I love it. Absolutely stunning piece. Yeah, do you not like it?
No.
No, not a fan.
Mm-mm. I looked at the Instagram picture that you put up, and I thought it looked like one of those disrupting the industry Kideon brand things, because it it's got everything flung at it. And the picture you put up makes it look as if everything is on the one plane, and there are five circles. It almost looks like looking through a six-shooter revolver.
Yes.
And seeing all the individual slots for the cartridges.
Yeah.
Or bullets, or whatever you call them.
Bullets, yeah.
Bullets, those things. And then obviously I've just looked at the link you told me to look at on Quill and Pad. It doesn't get much better there.
I think you're wrong.
I think it just looks like a bit of a mess, because there's so much going on, and they've got the logo down under, well, they've got Ireland on it, so obviously I don't like it because I'm Scottish. And then it's got the logo, obviously it's Irish, because the logo's now at the bottom instead of at the top.
I love it, I love it. They're well worth checking out, both John
McGonagall. Grand, Rick, come on.
It is, and Stephen McGonagall. Stephen McGonagall's stuff is slightly more...
Are we going to get emails? Are we going to get a, I know your ma...
it's not your ma you need to worry about. It's I know what school you went to and where you live.
No, we just used that on Brian Duffy.
Stephen's stuff slightly more out there if you go and check out Steve McGonagall's work. But I really like this, so there you go.
Nope, not for me. But again, that's why people tune in, to hear me slag off everything you love and hold close.
Everything I hold dear. Anyway, well, let me abuse something else that came out. I also actually saw this in Quill and Pad incidentally, which is GLC, Geophysic Collection.
Right, when did this come out?
I'm not going to say any more than that. It's just, this is an old article from 2015, but...
Always first with the news, Rick.
Always first with the news. It's, as I understand it, the stuff has now been...
Is this an article on your first servicing of a watch you bought half a decade ago?
Yeah. As I understand it, now maybe I'm just completely behind the time here. I think some of this has now been discontinued, which hopefully just means that GLC have got some space to actually make some watches that people want and stop going on about polo horses. Although, interestingly, why?
Because you're talking about GLC and that equestrian sport bullshit again.
All right, okay. No, but interestingly, Roger Smith posted on his account that his wife's got a new horse. Okay, and that got me thinking, Roger Smith should make a watch fit for riding a horse.
And his great grandkids could wear it
exactly.
When it's finished.
Then when it's finished, that could be the second watch he's ever made. Then I would believe that it had something to do with a horse and a watch. So, Roger, I hereby commission you on the basis that I'm not going to need to pay for it until it's delivered, and that's probably 20 years from now. Then I commission you to produce a watch that's capable of being worn and abused while riding a horse.
Okay, that's fair enough. Well, alrighty. You know what you could do? You could actually ask him yourself. Because Roger Smith is going to be live.
Look at that segue. You've missed it. People, you have missed this. Missed these kind of segues.
They've missed you like your new nickname alludes to.
Okay. Hole in the head.
Now known as horological herpes.
All right, okay.
You think you've got rid of you, and then you just keep coming back.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. So, we have got, not we, well, yes, we have got, I suppose, because we're kind of helping out with things behind the scenes. The Alliance are doing their first live broadcast on the 10th of March. I think it's 5 p.m. GMT. Check our Instagram, you'll find out more, and in the show notes. And it's called The Open Dial with Roger Smith, where he's going to do live questions and answers, take you on a virtual tour of his facilities. He doesn't usually do this because he's so busy, and they're there to make watches, and they don't have much free time because it takes so long to make a good watch, start to finish. But you'll be able to tune in, find out all about him, what he's doing, find out about the Alliance, a little bit about George Daniels, which was his mentor. And yeah, there's a question and answer session as well. And Rick, you can be there and you can ask him all about making those special watches.
Oh, that sounds like a great idea.
Which means you're going to probably try and carpet bomb the chat.
Yeah. It is spring officially. Horological spring? Meteorological spring is the 1st of March. And that got me thinking because Grand Seiko have been producing all these seasons collections.
Oh, did you see the video that Adrian did on the White Birch?
No.
That's good. He went down to see Simon and Alan down at James Porter and did some filming of it, and then pulled in Handsome Rob for a quick video via Zoom. And
all right.
Got Handsome Rob to talk about the new watch. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, pretty much just went, thanks, and cut him off.
Well,
that was epic.
I was contemplating the idea of a seasons collection for the forthcoming Scottish Watches limited edition Grand Seikos. Mm-hmm. And then I realised that we don't have seasons in Scotland. We just have weather.
They don't have to be waterproof.
They don't have to be waterproof. And
working extremely low temperatures.
You wouldn't be able to distinguish as to which one was for when, because you can have hail, snow, gorgeous sunshine, thunderstorms.
Are we going to have one called Dreekit?
Dreek. Oh, let's come up with names for the Scottish watches. So you'd have like the Dreek watch, the Gloomy watch, the Har, Drizzle, the Mingin watch. No, that's probably copyrighted by Ming, isn't it? Mm. Dreek. I think the Dreek collection. Mm-hmm. I like that. What do you think of these new seasons Grand Seiko? Because Seiko,
are those
Grand
the
Seiko
ones
have
that I posted and then just had a complete brain fart because Seiko just unloaded everything in a one go.
Yes. Seiko.
Yeah,
Grand
I had a buffer
Seiko
overflow in my brain with that one. So I saw the first the seasons with all the colours and stuff, and I don't know why you've not taken them to task on their interesting backstories. But
well,
anyway.
I do. I, on a regular basis, say, Seiko, can you stop trying to relate everything to things in nature? The problem is, as I understand it, in Japan, they have like 26 different seasons. So we're pretty much stuck with this. But I guess it's like us having, you know, 26 different words for rain. Mm. So I'm not sure I like these. The green one's nice. I'm not sure I like the rest. And I think the problem with the spring drive ones is the GMT. Because the GMT uses the odd numbers as markers, and I think that's really weird. I don't get it. It just makes me shiver for
Does
some
it?
Reason. Yeah, I'm just looking at it going, maybe it's just like I'm used to counting in even numbers, but the idea of counting, what do you mean where? Look at the two new GMTs. So there's three GMT watches, two of which are high beat and two of which
where
are
you
spring
getting,
drives.
What do you mean it's the odds and even numbers?
All right, so on the spring drive versions, the GMT hand, the numerals are the odd numbers. And on the high beat versions, the numerals are the even numbers. Go and look at it. Go to like a website you can trust, like Hodinkee or something like that. Yeah,
right.
And I find that quite disconcerting for some reason.
Didn't know you had OCD.
Yeah, it's just.
Well, no, I can't unsee that.
I don't think I knew I had OCD myself, but maybe it turns out I do. And also, why have they made the fonts different on the date wheels between the spring drives and the high beats. I just think it's I can understand the idea of doing two in spring drive, two in high beat. I mean, when I say I can understand, not really.
Have you had laser surgery? You're seeing a lot of things here that I never noticed.
I've got new glasses. I've got two sets of new glasses. These are Porsche design, so if Porsche design would like to send me some free stuff, they should feel free. It's very disconcerting.
You're right.
Although I believe somebody also sent you a link to a spring drive that doesn't have a power reserve on the front.
Yeah,
and you still
something
don't
I harp on about that I want to get a spring drive, but I want one I actually like the look of, and we haven't really got there yet. We're getting close, but I haven't got there. I wonder if we could just get a normal spring drive, and then I could get someone like the Dial Artist to just put a bit of polyfiller where the power reserve thingy is and fix that for me. What are you? You've got a wee grin on your face. What are you up to?
No, I was laughing at your joke.
Okay, good. I'm glad. So that was that. But the White Birch video that Adrian put out, again, this guy just can't catch a break. He puts a video out and gets shit about it.
Does he?
And he got shit about the IWC video. Ugh, God damn it.
The reality is...
You know what it is? He's now hit the point where he is the video version of Hodinkee.
Oh, Hodinkee. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. He is. It's just everybody likes taking pot shots. Now, so the question is, do we join in?
With what? Taking pot shots at him?
Yeah, at Adrian.
What, shooting fish in a barrel? No, we're not doing that.
Okay.
No, he's a nice guy.
We'll let him off. He's to be fair.
I mean, his watch straps are just phenomenal.
The best. So soft and
so luxurious.
Smooth.
It's like Andrex on your arse after a Vindaloo.
I fill my pillowcase with his Horween leather watch straps because they're just so comfy just to sleep on.
Yeah, I have actually created a motorcycle racing leather suit based on his Horween leather straps.
Is that right?
It's just so soft and supple.
I'm reupholstering my car, just stitching together thousands of his NATO straps in order to do it. The little buckles, I should have taken them off before stitching because they do catch on everything.
I collect them and I've made a wind chime that hangs outside my window.
Oh dear. I use it as kind of like, you know, the training where you used to have to walk on like a bed of nails for sleeping on? Well, I've done that. So I've taken all of these watch straps, I've welded them with all the pin buckles, tang buckles pointing straight up. And then every day I punish myself by walking over a bed of Adrian's tang buckle watch straps.
In his video, there's lots of good information about the movement and there was a lot of changes. Rob was going into detail about it as Adrian has got some exploded renders of what's happening in there. And they have played around with a lot of stuff. It looked to me, right, and this is controversial, it looked to me, watching his video, that Grand Seiko have looked at Omega and Rolex and have changed things in the movement and the escapement, so it now resembles Rolex with their Microstellar adjustment system and free-sprung balance with half a coaxial escapement with the dual impulse system. So if you watch the video, I was looking going, I was like Leonardo DiCaprio in that meme where he's like pointing at the screen because he spots something he recognises. So I don't know, I could be wrong. You can look at the video anyway.
That sounds like you're actually learning things about how watches are made.
Listen, I've just been refreshing my memory because I've been training Roger on stuff ahead of his Open Dial thing.
It's important to keep the young people in check.
Yeah.
Good. It is indeed.
So that's it. Oh, we have some news. So this is going out. This is going out tomorrow. This is getting edited tonight. Shit. Busy day. Yeah, because we're supposed to record this a couple of days ago and you weren't well.
Yes.
So this goes out on Thursday the 4th. On Friday night, Friday the 5th, we are doing our second live podcast recording. This is something we tried and it worked quite well. We did it on YouTube the last time and that was on Boxing Day. And Ryan loved it so much, he begged us to do it again. And we said, cool, let's do it again. And we got everything organised and he said, well, we don't have to have a drink. That was the whole point, Ryan. You told us you wanted a drunk podcast recording, otherwise we'd have done it any time. So we're doing it tomorrow, and we're also doing it not on YouTube, we're doing it on Clubhouse. So now we've alienated half the poor people that listen to this show. But if you do have an iOS device, or you can get a hold of one, borrow one from your child. You can jump onto Clubhouse at, link will be in the show notes, because you can actually link to these things. It's also in our link tree, so if you go to our Instagram and click in the bio, it's near the top, Clubhouse link. Jump in there, 8 p.m. GMT on Friday the 5th of whatever the month this is. What month is it? March? Is that, that's nearly a year, Rick.
If you had one of those McGonagall watches, you'd you'd know.
I'd be crying. Day and date was. So, yep, join us in Clubhouse. It's going to be myself, Dave Sharp, and Ryan Schmidt. We're going to bring in different guests. Catelyn's going to try and sneak away from the Daniel Wellington boutique on her lunch break to jump in her car to add in her words of wisdom. Uh-huh. And yeah, we're just going to have a good old time.
Or just cry during our lunch hour.
Yes, she's going to do that. And we're going to have a little drink and chat shit. So if you're on Clubhouse, jump on there. If you're looking for jump on to our Instagram, and I'm going to post something up about it and just ask in there. I'm sure somebody will be able to give you an invite.
So if you're looking for if you're looking for a really good deal from Daniel Wellington and you happen to be in the Nashville area, can I recommend going tomorrow afternoon and finding the sales assistant that looks like she's three sheets to the wind, because she'll probably give you the best deal, because she'll not know what she's doing.
Around about 2 p.m. American Yankee time.
Yep. Okay.
So that is that. I think that is almost a show. Try to think if there's anything else. We were going to talk about the Breitling, the new top team.
Yeah, well, there's also news fresh out of HYT. So this is HYT, which we are big fans of, would basically appear to be closing its doors in some fashion. It's not terribly clear. I'm not that familiar with how administration law works in Switzerland, but basically their financing channel to keep the company going as it is today seems to have dried up. As I understand it, there will still be routes to both buy watches that are already in the market and to get them serviced, the ones that are already there. But I guess there might be some good deals going if you've always wanted to have a look at one of these. So go and check out, just go and search around. It'll start, no doubt, appearing in the watch media as to what's happening at HYT. But a real shame if they have been a, you know, more recent casualty of all things COVID. There are certainly signs that there are a few other companies that are struggling at the moment. But we're not going to name them so that we don't get sued.
Yeah, this was a rumour that had been floating around for a couple of weeks. We'd obviously heard things, and then people had sent us a copy of a, I don't know if it was an email or a letter that somebody scanned in. You know more about scanning and letters and stuff like that than I do. And we obviously speak to Pietro at the Limited Edition because he deals in HYT, has done for years. He then republished some information because people were asking. There was all the kind of rumours going around, and he jumped onto Instagram just to basically set the record straight. And what he said was, turning the page, end of a chapter for HYT Watches. The brand is taking what we hope is a break, as two shareholders did not agree to recapitalise in this particular post-pandemic, well, it's not post-pandemic, still kind of in a scenario. However, as we are told, this may not be the end of it, since as Pressiflex, the sister company who actually developed the liquid modules and technology for HYT, is taking care of all the after-sales, servicing, etc, etc. The HYT management may also be conspiring a new fresh start, which is probably not the right word to use. Is it?
Contemplating possibly.
Contemplating. I wouldn't. That's a little bit sinister, that one. But then again, he does call videos podcasts. English is not his first language.
It's like his ninth language.
It is. I mean, Jesus Christ.
Give the guy a chance.
Give the guy a chance. Faint chance. So stay tuned. Let us hope for the best. And please let us know if you need assistance with your HYT watch. We are here to help. And the way I look at it is, these things happen. Companies change over all the time. Sometimes companies drop down a little bit into a position where they're easily picked up by other organisations. And that is a rumour that that may happen and things may change in the next couple of months. So who knows? Although what happened after that was that Pietro got a ton of shit on his Instagram post. I don't know if you spotted this.
I saw a little bit of it kicking off, but yeah, not much.
99% of the people that jumped in went, that's a real shame, hope things work out, love the brand, love what they've done, they've got a completely new individual take on time-telling, and then there was one
person. There's always one.
There's always one that jumped in normally and kicked off, basically saying, I think it's not very fair to announce this here on Instagram.
Okay.
And that was from a retailer.
All right, okay. So someone who's got a load of stock is... I don't think they're going to... You know, if they're saying that... If a retailer is complaining, I'm not saying it's this particular retailer, but a retailer really shouldn't complain about that kind of information getting out, unless the suggestion is that a retailer would then want to sell a watch without revealing that the company that who just watched brand it was didn't actually exist anymore.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I read it, that yeah. Pietro's doing the right thing because he's got HYT watches.
Yeah, he's got
stock.
Them as well, absolutely.
He's got them sitting. Absolutely. He retails them, sells them, blah, blah, blah. And he actually was on the phone yesterday after all this kicked off to say he's had more inquiries now of people wanting to get the last of them. It's a bit like when Rolex are changing the sub or dropping something or other and you find out about it, people want it. That's slightly the same here. This is an individual piece that people are after. But anyway, this person had posted up kicking off about it and Pietro jumped in and went, listen, you know, I wanted to let the collectors who have purchased in the past, let them know what's happening, give them the optimism and let them know exactly from the horse's mouth instead of like hiding stuff away. Mm-hmm. And this other person, Cat_ChronoPassion, said that she thinks, or they think to the contrary, that it'll make customers afraid to buy HYT watches now, and everyone should just have waited for official press releases and word from them. So, no, I think Pietro did the right idea, and you're right, most people wouldn't. Most retailers, online or otherwise, would probably be quite quiet if a company was stopping producing things and all the rest of it. So good on Pietro, proven once again that he is one of the good guys.
Yes, indeed.
So I think that is our show. We've never really had a chance to go through all the Grand Seiko stuff that I told you we were going to do.
I would like, yes, we'll cover that again, but I would like Missiel to do a count. I think it should be a number at the top of his show notes shows how many different watches did we talk about. I think, so we can do an episode count. We talked about 57 different watches.
No, no, hold on, hold on. Missiel, I know you're hearing this for the first time just now. Don't worry, you don't have to go back to the start of this episode and start counting. Right,
why not?
You don't have to do that.
But next time,
but next time you need one of those little clickers you get the next time when you used to go in.
Get one of those glass. That's a thing to use. One of those glass hoot original counter watches things.
Only
to
goes
do.
Up to 99.
Yeah. Well, I think the chance of us getting to 99, even I would doubt, but we'll get there.
We didn't talk about all the new Grand Seikos that came out.
That's true.
So we're going to have to hold off yet again. Well, I suppose it is fitting that we're not mentioning the new Breitling Top Time just yet, because the email I sent to Breitling, they've not replied to in the last week. So maybe if they reply, we'll talk about their watch. Hey, that's a good idea.
Good stuff.
So that has been a show. Anything else you want to catch people up on? Actually, we don't have time.
Let's just go check out all the YouTube channels. Good stuff on the unboxing, good stuff on the live channel, good stuff on the main channel, good stuff on Instagram, good
when
stuff
back,
everywhere.
So people can avoid
I will be back next week.
Will you?
I think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's no. I'll be a surprise. Maybe it's just I'll not be back with you.
Oh, you're kicking off somewhere else. Great. Yep. Cannot wait. Okay. Sounds good to me.
Goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.
Bye-bye.